are the guest host tonight, Survive to Thrive. The radio network, listen, we've got you for 1 hour, and we trust that it's going to be, again, a time of God's providence. There's a great, great spiritual conflict going on all around us. It shows itself in so many ways. I think that's true about the individual that just tried to release a bomb there in the car in New York City. I think that's true about many of the things that are occurring today. And we need to take a look at political ideology, the speeches and the laws that reveal so much about what a politician really believes. Now, we're doing a series this week. It's called Fighting for the Soul of the USA. Monday night, we did America, When the Darkness Reveals Its Head, and then Seeing That Luciferic Enthronement. Now, tonight, dealing with political ideology. Why is it so vital for believers in Christ? And by the way, welcome to all the believers in Christ all over the land right now. And send us a note every once in a while. Let us know you're listening, and we do appreciate that. We love to hear from you. If you're brand new, this is Russ Dizdar. The website that I'm connected to is shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net. And now that website's going to have tons of MP3s and information, all kinds of things for you to take a look at. So take your time when you get to that site, but there's a lot of good things, including daily devotions and so forth. So we've got a series called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. We've got some conferences we just come from. And all those materials are being put up, and you can take a look. Listen, if you got a question, the best time to send a note is during the live show so that we can try to answer you. We had quite a few yesterday. I'm sorry we didn't get to all of them. Most of them, but not all of them. But tonight, again, dealing with political ideology, why does it matter? Well, it matters because you and I live here. It matters. Listen to me. Let me just tell you, as a believer in Christ and seeing the massive revelation of God and God's purpose and what God is doing in the world. But God has given us clearly a massive heads up concerning, well, a very dark force, something that brings a deep and broad opposition to God. As a matter of fact, if we listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 24, he talked about days in which they would be unprecedented as far as wicked, violent, and destructive. As a matter of fact, he said such destructive days would come that it would be unequaled in all of history and never to be done again. So that's why I want to say that it is absolutely vital, because if you understand, and I've got 5 points tonight, 5 points concerning political leaders, and I'm going to just give you number one right now, but we'll come back to the rest of them. Number one, when a political leader has no concept of spiritual war, of a spiritual war that's really going on, when a political leader, and for that matter, any leaders, and especially pastoral leaders. Listen, when a political leader has no concept of the spiritual war that's going on behind the scenes, it is without question then that they are on the losing end of this battle. That they will be not the witting, but the unwitting in this constant battle for, control, power, position. And ultimately, in the sequence of satanic evolution, let me say it again, in the sequence of satanic evolution, in the agenda, the step-by-step linear development that we see occurring into the world right now, the only place you're going to get the accurate insight, again, biblical revelation, what the Spirit of God has said. The Spirit of God says what God is doing, what mankind is doing, but also what a dark, unseen, almost undetectable presence is doing in the world around us. Now, we should be concerned. It is that presence that engaged the human race, that led us in our separation from God into this code of darkness, sin, even death and hell itself. So it's vital that we understand what really goes on behind the scenes. If you have any understanding of the spiritual war at all, and take a look at the book of Job, and you see a battle going on behind the scenes. And not until the very end of that battle, Job had no idea, he was unwitting to what it was that was hitting him, striking him, and causing the devastation. Once again, the revelation is clear that it is a dark presence, a real personality with real abilities to touch the environment, economics, to bring destruction and even physical disease into his life with one goal, with one extreme dark hate goal. To get Job to blame it all on God, to blaspheme God. And that's part of the methodology, if you understand. Listen, I'm going to ask you tonight, I'm asking you, do you understand the concepts of spiritual war? Do you understand that there is a great, deep, broad spiritual war that affects the politics, the military, the economics, the environment, everything that's going on? The building of a critical mass. And so I'm going to say again, look at political ideology, look at the speeches, and then look at the laws that are made. I read today in the news concerning London, England, I believe it is, where a man was preaching the word of God and spoke from the word of God and said that homosexuality was a sin. A homosexual police officer arrested him, put him in jail for 7 hours, charging him with causing a disturbance of heart and mind, emotional distress on people. Now, I don't know the whole picture there, but I'm telling you that in the prophetic revelation that God has given, the critical mass of anti-God, anti-word of God, anti-will of God, what is God's desire? What is God's moral truth? And in God's revelation, listen, this concept of the spirit of Antichrist already around us, the concept of the rise of the man of lawlessness, this is the, Anthropos Anamos. This is every concept of opposition to God. If you and I as believers understand that behind the scenes, a real dark force, real demons, real principalities, powers, and wicked heavenly forces in the heavenlies bring opposition, bring warfare, bring temptation, they bring attack, they bring conflict, they shoot those, well, what the Bible calls those arrows, involuntary thoughts and feelings to attack your belief and to attack your obedience and your walk with God, to disturb it. Listen, for a believer not to know the spiritual battle and the victories of Christ, the cross, the blood, the authority, the armor of God, the power of the Word of God, and the absolute power of living in those victories in Christ. If you do not know these things as a believer, then once again, you will be in the dark, in the battle, being hit up, losing many times, and not understanding what has happened. Part of the concept of this spiritual war is what God said 3,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago. In Psalm chapter 2, when God questions literally the future world, in other words, when globalism does burst onto the scene with a supernatural world leader, political, military, and pseudo-religious unity is literally in force, then we are very near the absolute fulfillment of Psalm chapter 2, written 3,000 years ago. But even now it can be used as a warning. Even now it can be used evangelistically. Even now it can be used in our spiritual disposition. You know what it declares? You know what it declares? It declares that the peoples of the earth and the nations and the leaders, the kings, the political military leaders of the earth, that they are in conspiracy. They are conspiring. That there is literally, in the Hebrew there should be that concept of rage. There's a kind of emotionally rage-filled conspiring. They are conspiring together. There is a critical mass that is growing. It is all about anti-God, anti-anything God, anti-church, anti-Bible, anti-Christ, anti-God, with the idea of replacement. So we're talking about the pinnacle of the manifestation of what began in the garden thousands and thousands of years ago. To malign God, chuck God, and then accept an alternative spiritual experience, doctrine, and entity. That is exactly the methodology that is coming progressively into the world, that will burst into the world, and when the Antichrist does rise, will be at the pinnacle of force and might and power. I want to tell everybody tonight something. And you're going to have to realize that because the world is unwitting, because much of the world without the Spirit of God in their life, without the power of the living Christ dwelling within, without their minds and hearts being opened by the Spirit of God, it is very clear that darkness will reign. That there is going to be an embracing progressively and then on a broad scale. The absolute need, desire, and want of a new world order. Now, we've heard that term so many times. You would almost think that most everybody understands. The facts would be that most do not. Now, I give you another revelation of the Spirit of God in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. I want you to hear these words out of chapter 12, verse 4, referring to the devil, the Satan, the evil one. The fallen cherub, an entity vast in power in comparison to humanity. Verse 4, his tail, referring to the power of the fallen cherub, swept a third of the stars, in reference to angels, we all know this, out of the sky and flung them to the earth. That's the idea of that one third as we go back to Ezekiel and his trafficking and violence in the heavenlies. Now I want you to just drop down a little bit, or you know, take a look if you would at some point. Verse 7. Here again, God gives a revelation. God does. And there was war in heaven. War. In heaven, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough. Now this drops back to verse 3 when it talks about another sign appeared in heaven. In heaven. And the word of God says an enormous, the Greek word megas, a huge red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns, all in reference to political powers and alignment that involves globalism that is on its way, but not yet here, but will be maybe soon. Now, if you understand this panoramic view that the Spirit of God gives concerning the spiritual war in the heavenlies that eventually makes itself, well, manifest politically by the nations, by the masses of people in this world. So read verse 3. Read verse 7 about a war. Read verse 8. That, and again, this is an incredible chapter because nowhere else in all of Scripture do we have the Spirit of God giving us a picture of the full force of the fallen cherub and defines him as a dragon, a huge dragon, an enormous, a megas dragon. Trying to paint the clear picture. God is painting the picture of this entity, trying to give us the real, unveiling. Because to the world, the Antichrist and all that is with him and everything is going to seem like, at first anyway, supernatural, you know, new age, evolution of humanity, political savior, economic savior, military savior, environmental savior. That's what it's all going to look like. But when you read that the war in the heavenlies lost by the dark side, verse 9 now, the megas dragon was hurled down. Look at the definitions. That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan. And now notice, who leads the whole world astray. Who leads the whole world astray. It's an entity. It's a personage. It is a presence, energy, a power that emanates from this real entity. Skeptics cannot detect. Skeptics cannot engage. So out of the 5 points tonight on political leaders, and may I say anyone listening tonight, any kind of leader, but particularly now political leaders, if you have no concept of spiritual war, you're already losing the battle. If you do not understand the 3,000-year-old prophecy, Psalm 2, about what's happening right now and is growing as never before in human history and will emerge as never before in human history, you read Psalm 2, how the peoples, the nations, the kings, in a emotional rage, conspire together. They're going to gather together. They're going to join together. And look what it says. Ultimately, at the pinnacle of globalism, they are standing together in against God and against the Lord's Christ, Messiah, Christ Jesus. Please understand the way the things are going. Because when you read in Revelation 12:9 that this ancient serpent called the devil or Satan an adversary, a deceiver, a snake in the garden, a megas dragon, megas, huge. That's how God paints the picture. And he's going to have the ability to lead the whole world astray. The whole world. The globalism that we all are hearing about, the New World Order off the lips of Hitler, off the lips of presidents and leaders, the Bushes, Obama, all of them. The entire scope of New Age goals for globalism, 2012ers and their coming catastrophe that leads the world to the cleansing, to the New World Order. Albert Pike, the Masons, chaos in the New World Order. old deep Luciferians, creation of chaos, and then a new world order. Old Nazis, black flamers, the idea of the phoenix rising out of the ashes. Yes, catastrophe and then a new order. We read these things, we see these things, the dark side is speaking them, indoctrinating it, pushing it, influencing the world towards this day. And when you understand and have the Spirit of God's insight, both prophetically of the Old Testament and in the New, I mean, we've got to be nuts not to get tomorrow's headlines today in the Word of God. The Word of God is very clear about a great, well, the red horse, the taking peace from the earth, the global release of anarchy, chaos, catastrophe, when men will be out in riotous insurrection, butchering one another. Ultimately, out of the chaos, someone's got to grab the reins. Someone's going to come to save the world. Someone's going to create the pain and then come to be the healer of that pain. It's very similar to what occurs in satanic ritual abuse in the process of bonding, getting the world to bond with a new world order leader. Now, in all of these things we talk about, the difficulties, again, is, you know, knowing clearly biblical revelation again and again. The more you know, the more you piece all the picture that God has given. God's given a great picture. It's not all in one verse. You got to go through all of it. And again, as you look at the Old Testament, and especially Psalm 2 now, and then look at Matthew 24, and you look at 2 Thessalonians 2, and you look at 1 John 2, and you look at all of Revelation, you're getting a massive picture. See, those committed to globalism, influenced by a spiritual entity, a presence. Remember Ephesians 2? The prince of the power of the eros, the atmosphere. The spirit who is now at work in, those who are disobedient, those who are opposed to God. Now he's operating an operative, and there is an agenda. Now if you understand that and I understand that, the difficulty is trying to let the world see that. Now I don't have to make individuals see the whole concept of Antichrist world, new world, in order to share the gospel that has power from God, that an individual might come to know Christ. There was a man that came to the Nashville conference that was there hearing about 9 different speakers give some of the most cutting-edge insight into the last of the last days, dealing with prophecy and some of the deepest issues. But he didn't even know God. He wasn't even saved. And this man raised his hands when I gave an invitation, and I went to him afterwards, and this gentleman was maybe, I don't know, 58, 60 years old. And as we talked, it came out that he did not even know Jesus in his heart. And that what he needed more than anything, among all the information, which he was appreciative, I mean, he wanted to know, he knows something's wrong. I mean, psychics and New Agers and 2012ers and remote viewers and presidents and governors and military men and women, the world in its this feeling in the air. We all know that something's horribly wrong. Destabilization. And the belief in coming catastrophe. So listen, New World Order individuals that are influenced, they're all going to be about, well, listen, let's oppose everything old and let's save everything, but we need a new. Again, they're going to buy in to a counterfeit way of saving the earth and the world when all of that is in the hands of the infinite, immeasurable, omniscient, omnipresent God in Christ. It is really true that there are political leaders that do not want to trust God. But in the influence of what they've read, meetings they've been taken to, belief systems that have come into their heart, you know how the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. You know, what does Obama believe? What did Bush believe? What's coming out of their mouths? What's coming out of their actions? Now, there's two things to look at. Number one, speech. What are they saying? What are they talking about? The second thing is the laws. The laws that they want to get, you know, put into place. The positioning of judges, of attorney generals, of cabinet members. Laws to be put on the books, and as much of their agenda and influence they can get out there before any kind of change would come to them. So look at their speech, but more than that, look at the laws, the ideology, the positions they want to put into practice. Those laws, those positions that are being voted and led and guided to affect all of America, or whatever your nation and your government is doing, reveals what they believe in. Hey, let's take a few minutes here. Let's listen to Steve Quayle, and we'll be right back. And we are back. This is Russ Dizdar, SurviveToThrive.net, the radio network. And thank you, Steve Quayle. We are here at May the 4th, 2010. Now, in my area, Kent State is having a 40th anniversary to the shootings. I was a senior in high school when the National Guard and all that was going on right here in my backyard, Kent State, when four died. And, well, that was a time of massive revolution, end of the 60s, into the 70s. We, again, are seeing some of the political ideologies that developed out of the 60s came when there was radical. Again, where does the influence come from? Let me give you an example. Here's one example. Barack Obama says that he was a believer in Christ. Barack Obama acknowledges, said he went to church. Barack Obama carried a Bible. Barack Obama, you know, acknowledges and said off his lips, Jesus Christ. Now, one of the first laws that he signed was the abortion bill to provide the largest sums of money any American president ever to pay for abortions, not only in the United States, but worldwide. So we're talking about the deaths of millions. You got to understand, Jesus Christ called the baby in the womb, Greek word brephos, a living human being. All of Scripture teaches life begins at conception. All of Scripture teaches that life in the womb is sacred. All of Scripture teaches. So it's beyond me. It's beyond my understanding that someone who says and confesses he went to church, he's going to go to church, that he's a believer in Christ, would do what is totally in opposition to God, to Christ's teachings. I think that's what we need to take a look at. I think that's what Jesus taught about. You'll know them by their fruit, by what they actually do, not just by what they say. You know, what they say to win hearts and minds is one thing. And I know all of us are sick of political leaders that are saying, you know, what they believe about God, what they believe about Christ. And then once they get into power, it's as though they have no clue. And I will say again, out of the five major points I'm sharing tonight on political ideology, the speeches and the laws they put into practice, they reveal whom they really serve. The Word of God predicts the peoples in mass, the nations and their leaders, the kings, ultimately are going to make in their conspiring, in their thinking through, in their meetings, in their conferences, in their hearts. If they believe that abortion is right and it's truly in opposition to God and it is literally a holocaust in the wombs of women by the millions, and God holds blood account, every doctor, everyone operative in this area will be held to account. Even believers who blindly vote for those when they've been told will pass laws that will slaughter the innocent. Don't we look at the positions, or do we just look at the facade? Do we just look at the outside presentation, the outside poser? We've got to look more and beyond the speech. Sometimes the speech can reveal what they're all about. Now listen, I'm going to quote to you something from Phyllis Schlafly. And this is back when all of the political speeches and before the voting. And I'm quoting here now off of the website. I believe it is called, it's just simply called the Phyllis Schlafly Report. And when I take a look at this, quote, when candidate Barack Obama declares himself a citizen of the world, before thousands of cheering German socialists, and later pledged to rejoin the world community, those were not just his usual platitudes about change. Those words sounded the trumpet for his specific and far-reaching globalist agenda. Quote, end of quote. And I will say it again, quote, those words sounded the trumpet for his specific and far-reaching globalist agenda. Now, please understand something. Globalism is much bigger than just Barack Obama. Globalism involves the huge dragon, the huge supernatural entity operative worldwide, predicted by God himself, will lead the whole world astray. astray down that path where the critical mass of opposition to God and specific opposition to Christ will be demonstrated. Behind the scenes, the conspiracy grows. Behind the scenes, the feeling, the rage grows. Behind the scenes, the surfacing worldwide in political ideology, in speeches and in laws, the concept of anomos, lawlessness. In the biblical revelation of that word, 2 Thessalonians 2, the concept of absolute opposition to every ounce of God's person, presence, word, will, people, anything and everything that would represent God will have a direct, forceful, opposing presence while developing and eventually will burst out into the scene. Now, you and I, as we're engaging this tonight, you know, there's a battle in America on a political front, but it's not just political. What Barack Obama believes comes from spiritual ideology, spiritual doctrine, didache. It comes from a concept. I'm reading today from World Net Daily's push on a new book called Manchurian President. The Manchurian President. Now, I'm very deeply versed in the concept of the Manchurian Candidate. Deeply versed on the concepts of Monarch, Phoenix, MKUltra, and all of the stuff we've dealt with for years. We've written vastly on this now. But a brand new book put out by Aaron Klein, Brenda Elliott, it is already hitting the top 10 list. It is going to bring massive, detailed, factual revelation on the communist ties, socialist ties, other anti-American extremist ties that Barack Obama has been raised with, is connected to, along with his cabinet. A number of months back, we held a conference in Mansfield, Ohio. One of the speakers was Gary Kaa. He's written a book called New World Religion. Original title a few years back was The Demonic Roots of Globalism. I suggest you read that. And he brought up and put on screen cabinet members that were appointed since Barack Obama has been put into office, enlisting them up on screen one by one, the demonstration of their connection to trilateralism, Bilderbergers, New Age-oriented globalist groups. Globalist groups. It's as if everyone in the cabinet has been picked based not on their Republican-Democratic front, but on their real choice, real agenda of progressive development to globalism worldwide. America is more than just being taken over. It's being seduced. Now, I'm going to mention to you the five things tonight before we go any further, but I just ordered the book. I've read all the materials behind it. I've read articles on the book, The Manchurian President. Now, that is very provocative title. It has the idea that something is behind the president's ideology, his belief system. What is his belief system? Who's behind Barack Obama? Who's behind the cabinet? Who's behind White House officials, leaders, coming judges, etc., etc.? And you keep tracking it backwards, and I'm going to tell you, every one of us need to understand, ultimately, a spiritual, incredibly vast spiritual war is being played out, and we're coming to the end of the road. We're literally coming to the end of the road when the most dramatic, destructive, catastrophic events that includes the rise of the Antichrist, globalism, the abyss, Armageddon, all the rest, just around the corner. Oh, we've been warned. We've been given the heads up. We've been told what we can do with the information as a believer in Christ. Again, even though I believe it's important to have survivalist food that will last you 6 months or a year, even though I believe that you should have, you know, all of those kind of protections, I'm going to tell you again in a one-hour MP3 that we just put up on the website, shatterthedarkness.net, called The Philip Factor. The most powerful, protected place is in the center of God's will, doing the works of Christ with the cutting edge of evangelism to the very day Jesus returns and takes us out of here. So I want you to know that I share these five things, and I want you to realize that today, as people are voting all over, as we're going to hear about primaries, as we're going to hear about the anger in America, as we're going to see that there is a political, an ideology, a battle going on in the United States, ultimately, it is a spiritual one. Here's the 5 points. Number one. When a political leader has no concept of spiritual warfare, they are already losing the battle. If a political leader has no concept of Psalm chapter 2, no concept of the cross and why Jesus came, no concept of the spiritual battle in the development of the body of Christ worldwide, of the act of salvation, of God operative in the world, and of a dark spiritual presence bringing counterfeit alternative spiritual events, experiences, doctrines into the world that lends itself all towards the satanic agenda. Number two, when a political leader uses God's name, quotes Christ, holds a Bible, but when it comes down to the real life, they don't even know him personally. And they show no observance of the Word of God, no compliance with the will of God. Again, the example to say, I believe in Christ, I believe in the Bible, I believe in, you know, God, and to immediately sign a bill that says, I defy God. I'm signing a bill that will go against the very heart and will and nature of God and humanity in the slaughter of infants. Abortion is murder. Abortion is killing babies. Abortion is the slaughter of sacred, in the womb, human beings. That's how God sees it. Old and New Testament. So when any political leader quotes or uses God's name, but lives in their ideologies and in their laws and positions they put out that are opposed, you got to realize that political leaders can make laws, bring out ideology, that when it is opposed to God, they can aid and abet damnation in a nation. They could either help lead the nation into friendship with God or lead the nation in opposition to God. Every ounce of globalist ideology in any American politician anywhere across this land that pushes for that kind of globalist, New Age, counterfeit spiritual and counterfeit political agenda is in direct opposition to the mission of God, the will of God, ultimately to the Christ of God. Number three, when political leaders, when they're only seeking their power and authority, when you see that many of the things that they're doing is to acquire more law and authority and power, when you see that they're constantly, quickly appointing everyone possible that believes what they believe, and that's what happens. That's what happens in the United States when political leaders take their place. Obviously, they want to bring in everyone that is like them and that is a part of that agenda. Now, look what has happened here in this last 2 years. When it comes to the cabinet, when it comes to the when it comes to the White House officials, when it comes to those who have been appointed, when it comes to all of that, you're finding literally that they're connected to trilateralists, to the Bilderbergers, to the elites of globalism. You're finding them in deference to American sovereignty. And so when you have this vast political machine that has been put into place to lock down as much ideology, position, and law as possible, and it seems that they are crowding out the people to choose positions that literally go against the will of the people and cut the people out, then you find again that they're being guided by Psalm chapter 2. They're being guided by a spiritual presence and force that seeks ultimately to center power in a globalist way, cutting off the masses of the people of the world and just literally making them forceful followers. Or forced followers. Number four, when political leaders are influenced by others, the question is, who are they influenced by? Now, I'm eager to read the book, The Manchurian President, by Aaron Klein, Brenda Elliott. I'm eager to read what they're going to say about his connections to the Nation of Islam, Black Liberation Theology, to his old college, Occidental College, and later Columbia University, to the background of drugs, the background of where he was actually born. Please understand something. Something has been done to alter the background of this current president in such a way that it's very hard to find out who he really is. I mean, he doesn't even go by his real given, originally given name. I'm going to say and kind of predict that in my search in this material, we're going to see it track back to globalist ideology that has only come about by spiritual revelation. Once again, globalist ideology on the books, in the hearts of men and women, come about by a spiritual revelation, a presence that guides, a doctrine that is infused. So I think that as we look at leadership in America or your nation, the question is, who has influenced them? Who gives the money? Who's behind them? Because as God, the Word of God reveals, as a man thinks, so is he. As a person believes, obviously, Nancy Pelosi, the vast majority of those that have been appointed, do not believe God, do not believe Christ in the systematic revelation that babies inside a mother's womb are living human beings, sacred. And to kill them separates them from their human spirit. And it is a, well, have you ever seen a partial birth abortion? Have you ever seen what's really done? Have you ever seen the destruction that looks worse? That looks worse than Auschwitz. What's the difference? Piling bodies out there on the grounds, shoveling them into the furnaces. Or piling the little babies, broken, dismembered bodies in garbage cans to be dumped and burned. As if they could hide the evidence. Remember when Cain killed Abel? God encounters him and speaks about how his blood cries out. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a payday someday. I'm thankful for the coming judgment of God. I'm thankful for being forgiven and Christ taking my judgment and him being the sin bearer and him coming into my life and him forgiving me. I'm just a sinner that's been forgiven by God. I'm just one that has recognized I'm lost, separated, hellbound. If I would have died in 1969, 1972, in the drug world, in the spiritual alternative embrace of occultism and Buddhism and New Ageism back then, I would have died and gone to hell for sure. There's someone that loves me, someone so powerful, someone so persuasive, someone that pursued me as God pursues you this moment in time. God loves you. Christ came for you. God comes to speak to you. God calls you to embrace the Son of God, to be forgiven, to be given the gift of eternal life, to be given the love of God, the power of God. And with that, the Spirit of God that opens you up to the massive, massive revelation of God in these end days. I pray that you will right now, if you don't know the living Christ, come to him now. Come to him today. I have no question the Spirit of God convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That the Spirit of God speaks to your life and calls you to come out of the emptiness and your sins that are attached, that are on your head. That your dead spirit to God should be made alive by the Spirit of Christ as he enters into your life. The Bible simply says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus. See, when Christ returns, the Bible predicts all the way from the old to the new that he will bring a restoration of the nations, a healing of the nations, that he will rule. There's going to be a political rule guided spiritually by the Prince of Peace, by the same one that you can trust that died for you on the cross and cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right now, open your heart, cry out to God, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. I trust you as Lord and Savior. I trust that you gave your life and shed your blood and died for me and rose from the dead. And I want you, I accept you, I receive you right now in my life by faith alone. I urge you to get into the Gospel of John and study the book of 1 John and begin to study. Write to me, Russ Dizdar. ShatterXmailSBCGlobal.net. ShatterXmailSBCGlobal.net. Whether you're listening live right now or the archives later on, by the providence of God. You know why? Because we prayed that those who need Christ more than anything else, more than all the political, stuff that I'm talking about here, more than anything else, God loves you. More than anyone else, God wants you. It's God's will for you to come to Christ. If you're a believer in Christ, it is God's will for you to know Jesus well, be clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit, and be a great witness to the world. You've got great things to do. You've got great things to do. Become fierce in prayer against everything you know that is of satanic agenda. that is rearing its head in political ideology, speeches, and laws. Fight in the name of Christ. Witness as Christ called you to. Well, hey, listen, we're at the end of the hour, and we will be back here Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Listen, we want to say God bless you. SurviveToThrive.net tonight. Listen, go check it out. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. God bless. Good night.